We are back on College Golf Talk. Steve Burkowski, Brentley Romine with you, taking a week off a week ago because life was more important than 30 minutes of College Golf Talk. And we need an update, my friend. Congratulations to you and the family.
Thank you. I almost thought about texting you, and as I was cutting the umbilical cord, and said, "Hey, 5 minutes. Come on, let's start talking about the Darius Rucker." But I think my wife appreciated us taking the week off. Let's just say that. But no, George is doing great. I was able to, for all the golf fans out there, was able to slip past the middle name on my wife. It's Mackenzie, you know, after Alistair Mackenzie, the great designer of Augusta National and Paso Tiempo. And we have a nice little oil painting of the 12th of Augusta, at Augusta over his crib. So my wife's on board with it. And, you know, that's success in my book.
Well, it's too late now, right? The birth certificate's already printed.
It is on the way.
Well, that's great news to you and everyone in there. And as I'm sure many have told you, when you have child number two, it does not become twice as hard. It becomes 10 times as hard.
Oh.
A lot of us have been there. I don't want to say we've all been there, but a game changer that will change your life in so many ways. So well done. That said, we've got a ton to catch up on. Nick Kleinert, Auburn men's golf coach, joins us in just a minute or two. But let's start with what happened about, 11 days ago? I'm losing track from the Darius Rucker, then Bay Hill. I'm up at the Players. So it's a bit of a whirlwind. But the Auburn Tigers, strong field, tough golf course. They win by 10 without Jackson Koivin, National Player of the Year from a season ago, because he made the cut at Bay Hill, got point number 19. I think it's a big statement win by the Tigers. Is it postseason isn't far away? We're 5-6 weeks from the start of that. Caden Fiorioni from UNLV wins individually. Maybe one of the better players in the country, people just have no idea about. Caden's name continues to pop up more often than not. But I know you've got a cool little nugget on Southern Highlands, the good folks out there, and hit us with some wisdom. Throw some numbers at us.
Well, I think I need to butter up the Auburn Tigers first before I throw this stat out there, because it doesn't bode well for their prospects here in a couple months. But, you know, huge win by them. Hadn't won all year. And I did a Canadian radio show earlier today, and we were talking about Scottie Scheffler. And I said, once you reach a certain level, when you don't win and people are asking you, like, what's happening, what's wrong, that means that you've made it. And I think that's the highest compliment you can get. And I kind of consider, from a college golf standpoint, Auburn's at that level, because, I mean, they were ranked third in the country, and I feel like people may have forgotten about them a little bit. You know, second here, third here, second here. Now they get this win. Brendan Valdez is healthy. He played well in his return to the lineup. Josiah Gilbert, who I was a little bit worried about coming into the spring, he had a heck of a tournament. The Bacchanator closes an 8-under. I mean, they're starting to get all the pieces together, and then you get Jackson back. However, that said, and the Lee Corso not so fast, I was going back, and Southern Highlands is obviously, for, the last 10, 15, 20 years, probably the premier, if not one of the premier tournaments of the entire regular season. And I was going back, and because I'm thinking, man, there's a lot of, you know, great teams that have won this event. There's a lot of great teams that have gone on to win the national championship. But I was surprised. The last 11 times that Southern Highlands and the NCAA championships were held in the same year, obviously 2020, we didn't have nationals. 21, we didn't have Southern Highlands. But the last 11 years, 9 times the eventual national champion has played Southern Highlands. None of those 9 teams won Southern Highlands. So this is a tournament that you want to play in, but might not want to win. And 5 of those 9 teams finished 5th or worse. So not great history, but I think if any team can buck that trend, it's certainly one led by Jackson Koivin, Brendan Valdez, and Coach Nick Kleinert, who, won it last year and is building something special there, or has built something special there. He's not building anymore. They've got the well-oiled machine gassed up and ready to go.
Well, speaking of that, let's welcome in Nick Kleinert, Auburn men's golf coach, in a vehicle, not driving. So, you know, that's the good news. Safe and sound there. It looks like you're in a movie, Nick. I'm not going to lie. You're sitting in that car and all the screens are moving behind you, but we appreciate you taking some time to join us on College Golf Talk. What's the initial reaction to finally break through and win a tournament, a good one, in the middle of March?
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. War Eagle and Brentley, congratulations to you and your wife. And
thank you.
Just wanted to give you a little congrats there. But Steve-O, you know, winning that tournament. I mean, listen, anytime you can win in this game, it's tough. You know, there's a lot of great players, a lot of great coaches, a lot of great programs, and going out into Las Vegas and performing the way we did, I can't be more proud of the guys. They're preparing the right way. They're very connected. They work hard. They have the right mentality and the right mindset. So, you know, hopefully we can keep it rolling, and we're looking forward to, you know, getting back out and competing pretty soon.
What's been the biggest challenge coming off a national championship for you as a coach, for them as players, to not remember last year, if that makes sense? Because it doesn't count for a darn thing this year, other than the fact they proved they're good and they can compete with anyone in the nation.
You know, we've talked a lot about it, obviously. I mean, we've talked about last year, and this is a different team. We had some seniors that graduated last year that were very beneficial to our program and to our culture, and this is a new team. We got some new faces, but, you know, the core of the lineup is still here, and you know, we just try to just basically block out the outside noise, block out the distractions, focus on what we can control, focus on us internally, focus on that locker room, and hopefully we can do that and support each other and encourage each other and play some great golf.
Nick, the big name that wasn't in Vegas but was in my neck of the woods here in sunny Orlando, Florida, Jackson Koivin, had a great week at API, gets that 19th point. I would assume that a PGA Tour card by next summer is virtually locked up, whether it be the Palmer Cup or a Walker Cup start or something else like that. What are his plans as far as 3 years, 4 years in school? And then about his game specifically, what do you think translates best to the PGA Tour, and where does he still have to improve?
Well, I think the first question, I think, you know, he's really looking forward to represent the United States, the Walker Cup if he's selected, and also at the Palmer Cup if he's selected. You know, obviously, he thinks he has a good chance to make those teams, but he's really focused on just continuing to get better and improve and get his game ready. I mean, listen, he's 19 years old, and get his game ready so when he does make that decision to go to professional golf, that he's ready to compete. He's ready to have a chance with 9 holes to go on Sunday to win tournaments. And I think he knows kind of where his strengths are. He knows where his weaknesses are, and he's constantly just – you know, he's got a high passion for the game and a high motor for the game. He's just constantly trying to work and improve and do those things. And I think that's, you know, ultimately for him, that's the areas he needs to get better. I mean, he knows he needs to get better with, you know, some of his short irons and some of his wedge play and around the greens. He's really in his fourth semester of college. He's already improved some of his pitch game, and he understands a lot more about his game than he did then. And he's constantly growing up, and he's constantly maturing, and I think that's something that's been very important to him, not just as a golfer, but also as a person.
I still go back to the quote that Buddy Alexander said last year. What was it, Burko? He's the best putter I've ever been around in college. Is that it?
He did. He told me that last year at Zurich, the PGA Tour event, and I quickly reminded him, I'm biased, but you coach Brian Gay, who's made $30, $40 million in professional golf by being one of the best putters in the world. And he said he's a better putter than Brian. If that's any indication, watch out. But that's sort of your quote, Brentley.
Mm-hmm. And then shifting to, I would say, if Jackson Koivin's kind of the motor of this team, the glue is Brendan Valdez, kind of the emotional leader, always has a smile, I think is the kind of go-to quote. But wrist injuries can be tricky. What's impressed you the most, or what's maybe pleasantly surprised you the most with how he was able to kind of rehab that and get back and basically get right back on the horse?
Well, a little bit more on the top of his hand too, not so much in the wrist. I think that was a positive. You know, he got a great surgeon out in Dallas that did it, and he's been very, you know, constant contact with him. And you know, he took the right amount of time off. He went through all the hand therapy and he did everything he was asked to do. And you know, basically, he's back to full strength now. He's got his speed back. You know, he's got his short game back. That's usually the first thing that goes. But obviously he is the glue, right? He's got that bubbly personality, and the guys love being around him. They love giving him a hard time and joking with him. And he's one heck of a player. And the kid's not afraid to compete, and he's fearless.
Beyond the obvious, Nick, of playing well, trying to win, what do you want to see from your team in the next 4, 5, 6 weeks before SEC's regionals and then hopefully La Casa quickly upon all of us?
Just constantly just maturing as much on the golf course as off the golf course, and just staying connected. You know, control the outs, you know, control what we can control and block out the outside noise. And let's focus on trying to win a championship and just competing at a high level and encouraging and inspiring each other. You know, if we can do that, if we can stay together and we can keep supporting each other, anything's possible. You know, obviously it's tough at this time in this game to peak at the right moments, but I feel really good about our guys. I like our depth. I'll put our 1 through 4 up against anybody in the country and go out there and compete. So, you know, I love them, and I'm looking forward to the postseason.
The hopes are you return to La Casa, a chance to go back-to-back. What did you learn about that golf course in year one that you don't want to get ahead of yourself, but maybe you have a better understanding? I mean, I always recall seeing coaches at Greyhawk, even if they weren't going to make match play, they're out there on Sunday, Monday and making notes. And it didn't dawn on me, but they're like, oh, we plan on being back next year, so we better figure out this hole or this stretch of golf course. How much are you continuing to stay focused, but think of ways you can even be better as a team out there?
You know, I think obviously don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but just kind of knowing the golf course obviously has success. We'll have some good vibes, you know, if we're able to get out there and you know, I think just pivotal holes, we know where to stay. Just the simple stuff, Steve, like where you stay, you know, where's the range, where are we going to eat? All that stuff plays a factor in being comfortable, especially for young people. And I think knowing certain holes and what you have to do. I love the golf course. I think it tests every facet of your game. You have to drive the ball well. You got to manage your emotions out there. You got some greens that can be pretty firm, some are a little bit softer. The speed of the greens, I thought the course set up last year was very fair. It was tough, and I think they got out what they wanted to. We're you know, 3 under par, 1 as an individual. And I think that's something we'll go out there knowing that it can be pretty difficult and knowing how to play maybe hole 11 and what to hit off the tee and, you know, kind of what to expect with wind directions and things of that nature. But I think overall it just comes down to being comfortable.
I feel like we ask this question when we get most coaches on, but I like to call this kind of the Lance Ringler inspired question. But if you were the commissioner of college golf for a day, or I guess it would have to be more to a day to actually get something done, but what would be the first change you'd make if you were put in that position?
Wow, what a question.
Where do you begin?
Boy, that's a great question. I'd probably say just one thing. I don't know, maybe 10 3-day events. I'm not a big 36-18 fan. Give us more days. We're great students. I mean, listen, across the board, you know, golfers are great students. And 24 days of competition, I don't necessarily maybe understand that. I think I had 30 when I was in college and played, and we did fine academically. So maybe have 10 3-day events, and then postseason would be, you know, conference, regionals, and nationals on top of that. The other thing is I'm not a huge fan of the 500 rule. I think it takes away from I know there's different sides and different arguments, and I understand all of them, but I don't think it takes away from some of the what the best players want to compete against each other. But that's just my opinion for what it's worth.
Well, the good thing about the 500 rule is that only 3 teams right now on the men's side in the top 60 are below 500. So you guys have adjusted. You guys have figured it out. Speaking of 36 whole days, because I do not like them either, what's the worst lunch that you've had at the turn and the best lunch?
Oh, that's a good, I don't know. But I mean, I like food, so it doesn't really matter as long as it's not moving. I don't know. I mean, anything that's fresh and made, I'm fine. Chick-fil-A is probably the best, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the worst is just plain bread with a piece of ham and a piece of cheese, maybe.
Or no lunch at all. Oh, sorry, we forgot that, Coach. You know, we trail mix.
I usually eat whatever's given to me. I'll eat.
That's the seafood diet, right? Seafood, eat it. Now I'm joined by two SEC powers on this podcast, obviously the head coach of Auburn and a proud Florida Gator and Steve Burkowski. I would argue that the two best teams now that Cooper Flagg has got a bum ankle as of 12:30 this afternoon, that Auburn and Florida are the two heavy favorites, or maybe mildly heavy favorites, to win it all on the hardwood here in a few weeks. Can we get some sort of back and forth prediction, maybe even some sort of side bet someone has to pay off that, you know, Omni the Costa here in a few months?
Well, here's my gut reaction. Sorry, Nick. Neither of us are going to win it because it's too easy to pick the best teams. The chalk never wins. As I do kick it back to Nick, I will say we did go to Auburn and win as the number one team in the country. Florida's pretty good. Florida's pretty good.
Florida's very good. They're big. They're athletic. I'm a Todd Golden fan, too. Like, he coached at Auburn. He coached for Bruce Pearl. He's a great human being. He's done a great job with that program. They're a tough matchup for us, to be honest with you, because they're so big. And it would be a tough matchup for anybody. But, I don't know. What could we do there, Steve? Like, if Florida wins a national championship basketball, I'll wear a Florida T-shirt one day around La Costa.
Yeah.
Practice round. Florida hat. Yeah, how about a Florida hat during the practice round? And if Auburn goes further, Burko has to...
I won't be able to do it on air because I could get fired. But it will be reciprocated in a similar manner. Of, you know what? Maybe I've got to drive around that... Someday we'll figure it out. It's going
to
be.
How about this? On your telecast, you have to say War Eagle a couple times.
Yeah, I like that. Like, news, Golf Central, College Central.
That's right.
Yeah, College Central. I will make him pay off the bet by saying War Eagle. That would be good.
We can do that. I hope one of our teams win. It's way too easy to. Oh, go with the number 2 and 4. I'd have to see how the brackets played out and maybe get a sense of, is Houston ever going to figure it out with Kelvin Sampson? Is there a team, 9 through 13? I'll tell you right now, you know who's going to win the national championship? Michigan State. Tom Izzo.
Come on.
Tom Izzo.
You laugh. That guy's the best coach in the country. He's done it for close to 30 years. He's one of the few remaining old guard that seemingly figures out this new student athlete. You watch it right now. You ask me on, what is it, March 13th? And as my wife, being a proud Wolverine, great athlete at Michigan, Michigan State will cut down the nets.
That's bold.
Yeah.
But
that's a bold call.
If it happens.
But Tom Izzo is great.
Tom Izzo is as good as it is and as good of a person. So we'll see. I hope you're wearing Gators. I hope Nick's wearing Auburn. We'll find out. We appreciate Nick Kleiner for joining us on College Golf Talk. We're getting them everywhere. We're getting them at home. We're getting them in the passengers of cars, Brentley. I think he just dropped out too.
That was perfect. I mean, the timing was good.
It's all there. It's intriguing to watch him. And I take from that interview, 1 through 4, he'll put up against anyone. And we know it doesn't take a rocket scientist to say, you know what? We have the best 2 players, the best 3 players. Depth usually wins championships. And if you can go 4 deep, that's a pretty good sign for them.
I'm going to bring him back on just so that we can give a proper goodbye to the national champion. That was perfect. We were going to let you just ride off into the sunset, but we figured we'd bring you back on and let Burko thank you properly.
Yeah, well, thank you. I hope it's Auburn. I hope it's Florida. I hope it's one of us. I'll stay true to Sparty off the board. Most importantly, appreciate it as always, Nick. Congrats to you on the team for the win in Vegas. Keep it going and look forward to following you hopefully back to La Costa in a few months' time.
Thank you, guys. War Eagle.
Nick Kleinert officially signing off from College Golf Talk. We are going to rip through a lot because we're making up for 2 weeks. Cabo was against Vegas. Arizona State wins without Connor Williams. Florida State third without Luke Clanton, Vandy ninth, Gordon Sargent tied for 74th, Ole Miss, who started that week number one, almost last, 13 out of 14. A lot to digest. We could break down every which way. I'll pick one. A little shocking for the Rebels. Colin Trolio struggled. They just didn't play well, plain and simple.
Yeah, and I thought I heard somewhere too, and I tried to verify this before the pod, but I think Michael Asasso stepped on some sort of jellyfish or sea urchin or something and had to have a bunch of little tiny needles removed from his foot. So the bad luck for Ole Miss seemingly continues. My kind of overarching thought about this tournament and kind of what we've seen is no one wants to play college golf anymore. It seems like every team is missing a player for one reason or another. And Gordon Sargent, I was on Dan Rappaport's show earlier this week, and we talked a little bit about Sargent and the fact that he doesn't have a top 50 yet this spring in three starts. Reportedly, his ball speed is down 15, 20 miles per hour as he tries to get it in play. And we've seen this with some of the best players in the world. When the driver starts to go and you don't have the confidence in where that ball is going to go and it's missing in both directions, it can leak into other parts of your game in between the ears. And that's exactly what's happened. And I think we've talked about this a lot on this podcast, but it feels like this is rock bottom right now. And Vanderbilt's outside the top 10 for this late in the season, the first time in over 10 years. Jackson Vampiris can't do it alone. I don't know what else to say as it relates to Gordon, but it's just interesting because as we kind of celebrate the Koivins and the Luke Clantons and, you know, the Justin Hastings having a good week on the PGA Tour, people forget, like, 2 years ago this time, Gordon Sargent was the it kid. I think Rory McIlroy played a practice round with him at Augusta National 2 years ago and told some media folks that he was the best amateur he's ever played with and how quickly things can unravel.
Yeah, let's hope Gordon gets out on the other side of it and returns to some sense of form, not only for himself, but to help Vandy as well. Speaking of Luke Clanton, back to college, Seminoles win their intercollegiate team sweep as well. And it's what I want to see from Luke Clanton. You're so immersed, and understandably so, getting point number 20. He did. Let's come back to college and focus on it. And you know what? You show up. You show out, you win by five. Love everything about that narrative.
Oh, and I love everything about Luke Clanton. I mean, we documented it a couple weeks ago, just a salt of the earth type kid, does a lot for others, and not too big for his teammates in his team right now. And that's clearly evident. How about Tyler Weaver though? I mean, this kid is, we've been waiting for him to break out. He goes and shares the title in Cabo, was sixth at Watersound to open the spring. T19 at the Seminole against a kind of a weakish field. It shows he still has some growing pains, needs a little consistency. But if this kid can get in the lineup and give them something, once they get into match play, I think he's won like six out of his last seven matches or something like that in college golf, was 3-0 last year at the national championship, I believe. So, Tyler Weaver's the real deal. He's got raw talent galore, and I'm excited to see what he's going to produce as we get into the heart of the season here.
Yeah, it's all coming together. It's seemingly at the right time for Trey Jones and the Seminoles. Quickly, other men's results. Longhorns win the Hate. Luke Potter, Texas junior now. He wins by three over David Ford. Michigan State wins the Colleton River Collegiate. Mississippi State, a five-shot victory over Utah at the Desert Mountain Collegiate. Oregon wins at Bandon Dunes. LSU edging Texas A&M at the Louisiana Classics. And Chattanooga dominating the Baby Grandy, Donald Ross Collegiate.
Utah, is it the Grandy or the Grande? Is it? I mean,
Grande, Baby Grandy, Grande. I've never heard of the Baby Grande. Grande.
What's the threshold for a Baby Grande? 10 pounds? 11 pounds?
Oh, if you get George, to 10.
George was 7'7". I mean, that's kind of the sweet spot, right?
Good, solid. I think we were 7 and change and maybe 6'10", 6'11". So I think 8 and above, you're truly Baby solid. Grand. And then if if you get to that one. The ladies, Darius Rucker, I was at South Carolina, Hilton Head, Long Cove, LSU, winning the team title, a tiebreaker with South Carolina. The Cume drop scores. We were doing math, figuring it out, double-checking, triple-checking. What a win for Garrett Runyon's team. Kendall Todd, Luis Ridquist, they went individually sharing those top honors, co-medalists. And for Ridquist to get back, not only in a lineup, but to win. I mean, she's battling a bulging disc, has sat out, has done everything but surgery, or you know, it's more, how can I prevent this? So I think that was huge. Again, a really good field. But I circled to LSU from the standpoint, the big three are gone. Thought it would be a lean year, and they've had ups and downs. But who knows? Maybe this is a springboard. Is it a one-off? And then to know that South Carolina went toe-to-toe. They had never won the team title there outright. Galitsky played good, not great. Darling played good, not great. Ridquist, really good. Like, it's kind of there. I'm not sure about 4 and 5 consistently, but that could be a three that could rival anyone in the land.
Yeah, and this is not a course that is easy to play your first time playing it. So I think with Ella's game, and you know, the fact that it's the shorter clubs and the putter and stuff that she typically struggles with, I'm not super concerned as it relates to getting on a course like La Costa that's, you know, a little bit more, I would say, less challenging, if you will. I mean, not a Pete Dye design. I think Gil did a great job. But, I'm super bullish on South Carolina. LSU, I think I've been banned from attending LSU tournaments now because I was at the Moon Golf. They beat very few teams there. And I was not at Darius.
15 to 17 there, yeah.
I was not at the Darius, and they win in a scorecard tiebreaker. So
it could be Garrett a Runyon, problem.
Garrett Runyon was kind enough to text me and say, that he's met with the powers that be, and I've been officially have a restraining order now on all golf tournaments. So I don't know how that's going to work with the NCAA championship, but we'll have to make it work. And, you know, kind of scrolling a little bit further down this leaderboard, like, we wanted to see what UCLA could do on the East Coast after winning their home event on the West Coast. They finished 14th out of 17, now 9 wins under 500, ranked 26 in the country. So they are, as far as it pertains to the 500 rule, the highest ranked team that's in the negative. There's a lot of teams. I could run through them. I'm not going to do that for sake of time, but we have 8 teams right now in the top 56 of the rankings under 500 in year one of this rule on the women's side. So, just like with the men, I think the first year of the men back in 09 or 07 or whatever year it was, I think there were 6. So, I'm expecting probably about that number for the women this year.
Yeah, Arkansas was in the mix. You're thinking they show up there. If they could win, they're legit too. They're 3-4 really solid players, what Shauna Taylor and her team doing, not a fluke this year. That overlapped with the Julie Inkster at Meadow Club. Stanford down early, big, to Oregon in round one. Ultimately, they win by 8 over the Oregon Ducks, by 22 over USC. Paula Martin, San Pedro wins individually along with Oregon's Karen Suru, Megagani, Kelly Sue, top 7 for the Cardinal. There's a reason they're number one. Plain and simple. We can get into it. The great freshmen, the 2 juniors, they are the standard right now. And it doesn't mean that can't change next week or next tournament. I just don't see it happening. We haven't really talked about, quote unquote, an undefeated season, even though they didn't win at Nota Begay's event, Twin Warriors.
Oh, yeah,
they actually beat more people than everyone else. but from a stroke play event standpoint, I think it's what, 7 or 8 wins now dating back to last year.
Yeah. I think it's eight in a row now. Sorry, I couldn't get that number out of my mouth, but, this team reminds me kind of on the March Madness theme, just those great Kentucky teams back in the day, you know, maybe even Auburn this year, Florida, if you will, like just lots of veterans, lots of freshmen, bring people off the bench. You almost get the feeling that every time Stanford tees it up now, it's almost guaranteed that three players show up and play really well. And, you know, that's a luxury that not a lot of teams have. But I'll tell you what, watch out for Oregon. I mean, they made the semifinals last year. They brought back a majority of that team. Suvi Chaya, their freshman, top 10 again. She's the real deal. Karen Suru getting that confidence of, you know, tying a great player like Paula Martin San Pedro. Derek Radley, I think he's one of the best coaches in the country. Like, this is a team that if anyone's got a chance, like, they have just as good of a chance as South Carolina. And probably now, I mean, USC, if Bailey Shoemaker is not going to be a top 15 machine for the Lady Trojans, the Oregon might be better than USC right now.
Yeah, a lot of potential storylines to see who can maybe go toe-to-toe with Stanford. And that, again, is assuming the Cardinal navigate as they have for quite some time. Briars Creek, FSU, they win by 14 for the ladies. Mirabelle Ting wins again, fourth time this season by five. Lottie Woad, top three again, hasn't finished outside the top three in seven starts. She has two wins. So what is, I mean, Mirabelle Ting, I think, has played in five college events this year.
Won four of them.
She's won four.
She's better than Luke Clanton right now. I mean,
80% winning gets the job done. That's another team like the men. The back half of the lineup starting to get a little more experience. Clearly, the best 1-2 punch in the country. I mean, what are they, number one and three in the world? So you can't really argue with Ting and Woad. It will just be that young, inexperienced 4-5 spot for head coach Amy Bond. Other results, Gators winning a close one at home over Virginia, Ole Miss, and UCF. Arizona State wins by four over Clemson at the Clover Cup. Kansas State, a 10-shot win over Arizona at Mountain View. And then you've got Northern Arizona taking the Pizza Hut invitation.
Yeah.
You cannot miss that.
The Pizza Hut. When's the last time you've had Pizza Hut?
In the restaurant, or you're at a kid's party and maybe Pizza Hut shows up?
Well, either or. Like, we'll talk about the great sit-down Pizza Hut buffet. But when's the last time you've had Pizza Hut?
Pizza is arguably my favorite food. If it was one and done, it's got to be New York style. Pizza Hut is – Pizza Hut's more of you had a long Saturday night and it's late Sunday afternoon and you need something to absorb your stomach intake from Saturday night. That's what Pizza Hut for me was good for. I'm too old for that now. It's okay. It's too thick. It's too doughy. But I do vaguely remember, what was it, maybe like a $5.99 buffet in my time.
With the salad bar.
A lot more now. I'm spoiled. I'm biased. Give me New York pizza and nothing else is a close second. Not even in the conversation.
Yeah, the nostalgia of the Pizza Hut buffet, even for me, I'm 34 years old, so not super young, not super old. I think we still have one in Orlando out by the attractions. So I'm inspired. I might have to, you know, I might have to corral the family and head out in search of the Pizza Hut buffet. There was nothing like it. Now, I'm sure, like everything from your childhood, it probably isn't the same if I were to go experience it now. But I just remember it being one of the best things of my childhood, which is probably saying something about my childhood. But anyways. We got a big pod next week. Our annual March Madness picks.
God, it is that time, isn't it?
Goodness, and we got A-10 basketball tomorrow. VCU, the Bonnies in the morning, Dayton's at night, nightcap. I don't know who they're playing yet. I think it's still TBD, but VCU's going to win, right? I mean, they're going to win the A-10, right?
George Mason men. I mean, you got to separate the men and the women. I did a lot of women's A-10 hoops, and Richmond had their 17-game winning streak snapped against St. Joseph's in the semifinals. So I'm hoping the women's Spiders still get in as an at-large. For the men, it would be VCU or George Mason would be the chalk there for me. We appreciate Nick Kleinard for joining us. Good to have you back, my friend. Again, that off the top, first and foremost, life changes in a very good way. So now you've got a foursome moving forward. So it'll be a lot easier to get a tee time. For Brentley, I'm Burko. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on College Golf Talk.